America doesn't have a national repertory theater, but we do have something as valuable, the site of an old laundromat on Chicago's North Side that's been the theatrical cauldron for the likes of, okay, let's try and take it chronologically now, Alan Alda, Ed Asner, Barbara Harris, Mike Nichols and Elaine May, Joan Rivers, David Steinberg, Robert Klein, Fred Willard, Harold Ramis, the Belushi Brothers, Dan Aykroyd, Gilda Radner, Catherine O'Hara, the Blues Brothers, Eugene Levy, Dave Thomas, Betty Thomas, Rick Moranis, the McKenzie Brothers, John Candy, Cheeseburger, Shelley Long, Martin Short, George Wendt, Bonnie Hunt, Mike Myers, Richard Kind, Chris Farley, and a mustachioed young Bill Murray.
Good evening. For those of you that are not my relatives, I'm Bill Murray. Welcome to the Second City Theater, famous theater. As you all know, has given many great performers their start, but more importantly, has killed thousands of barely talented people, and it's put them to death, and they're now doing the jobs they were built for, and so forth.
The Second City gives its stage over to performers, people who improvise and polish material derived from politics, conflict, audience suggestions, life.
Bill, we can't give you those parts from Omaha until next Thursday.
Now, come on, Rick, you promise it to me. You know I need them.
Okay, hold on. Let me go check on Michelle's desk. I'll be right back, okay?
Rick, don't put me on hold! For God's sake, stop the pain!
Excuse me?
I'm sorry, I didn't realize anyone was on the line.
This is Norma Lutz on your Hold Entertainment.
Now, today's Second City is no longer University of Chicago students cutting up in off moments. It's become an international comic industry with a multiplicity of stages, film, and television projects. But a new book that turns over its 40-year history in pictures and CD is mostly devoted to Second City's life in the theater. It's called The Second City, Backstage at the World's Greatest Comedy Theater. The book's last word is written by Harold Ramis, the actor, producer, and director who joins us from our bureau in Chicago. Mr. Ramis, thanks for being with us again.
My pleasure.
And the producer of Second City now is Kelly Leonard, who's also in that studio. Thank you, Kelly, for being back with us.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Now, can I call you Harold?
Please.
Okay. You write that you treasure Second City for the chance it affords performers to nightly relive every actor's nightmare.
Right.
Which is?
I used to have a dream when I was at Second City that I was on stage in a play, and I didn't know what the play was, which is literally what's going on at Second City. You're out there, and you may not know what's going on, but you have to do something. And that's the actual nightmare. I was told that Rudolf Nureyev used to have a dream where he leaps out on stage and finds out he's in an opera. And it's that feeling of being publicly humiliated that is at the heart of the nightmare. And that's what the Second City experience gives you.
But why does it seem to be fun?
Well, there's a hysteria around desperation that forces you to connect directly with your intuitive, non-rational mind. You have to say something, but you can't stand there thinking of what to say, and you can't write the scene because you can't communicate to the other players what you want them to do. So you can only behave. You have only your instincts to go on, and other people respond to that and feed something back, and then a new instinct is born, and so on and so forth till you have comedy.
Would that be first class or coach?
First class, please.
Window seat or aisle?
I'll take an aisle.
All right. Smoking or non-smoking?
Non-smoking, please.
Would you like to be seated in a section with or without children?
Without, please.
All right. Democrat or Republican?
I'm a Democrat,
all
but
right.
I really don't...
Pragmatist, humanist, or idealist?
Pragmatist.
Will you be watching the movie, sir, or sleeping?
What is the movie?
Airport 83.
Sleep.
All right. When you sleep, do you snore?
My wife says
we'll put you in the snoring section, then.
Thank you.
Economically speaking, are you a follower of Friedman, Marx, or Galbraith?
Friedman, he won the Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
Friedman.
All right,
Friedman.
Good. Are you a tit man or an ass man?
Most of darn good. Breasts. I'll have to go for that.
Good choice. All right, let me see if I have everything. You're a pragmatic, democratic, non-smoking, snoring child hater who likes Friedman and tits.
That's me.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. That seat's taken.
How important were its University of Chicago roots at the beginning?
Oh, I think they're extremely important. I mean, one of the things is the University of Chicago didn't have a theater program. So these were all people who, you know, wanted to do this work and had no outlet for it. You know, obviously Second City in its earliest stages might have been a tad more intellectual. I think the audiences were probably a tad more highbrow than they are now. But the root of University of Chicago and everything that was, that bastion of academia and Second City being in response to that, using the works of Kierkegaard and Brecht to turn back on the university, was vital to the rebellion that was happening at that time in theater and comedy.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear a little bit of, I think, what I can safely refer to as a classic bit. Alan Arkin, Severin Darden, Andrew Duncan, Eugene Trubrick. What if football were to come to the University of Chicago?
All right, gentlemen, I've drawn some circles here. That means that you have the ball.
I beg your pardon, sir. Those are not circles, they're ellipsoid, but let it pass.
All right, ellipsoid.
Dr. Harkin, am I correct in assuming that those ellipsoids represent a group acting in concert for the common good?
Yes, that's right there, Throckmorton. You're going down that field for the old touchdown. Of course, you're going to ask me, how do we do that?
How do we do that?
I'm going to tell you if you let me. All right, now the ellipsoids are playing the crosses up here.
Ah, crosses.
No crosses. Sit down. Sit down, Throckmorton. We'll make them X's. How about that? All right.
What do the X's represent?
Oh, the X's, those are the defense. That's your opponent.
And each X is the same power.
No, all right, we'll put little curlicues on the tackles. That'll set them apart there, all right?
Oh, look what you've written there, sir.
What have I written?
That's Bacchianus Brasileiros number 5 by Villalobos.
No, sit down there. No, it's not Bacchianus.
I guess that's particularly instructive to listen to during Super Bowl week. Harold Ramis, you came to the Second City Company during a particularly stressful time, didn't you?
Yeah, it was great. The best time. Well, 1968, I came there at the height of the Democratic Convention struggles.
Abbie Hoffman used to improvise with you.
He came on stage as an alibi. We're told it was during the conspiracy appeal. There was the trial and then the appeal, and it was during the appeal. The Weather Underground. I don't know if you remember them. Were out in the street smashing car windows, and
sure.
Abbie, he came on stage so he could be seen by a lot of people, and we could swear that he wasn't out on the street leading the window smashing.
Well, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn were out tearing the aerials off cars, you mean?
Right. And yeah. When I heard they were smashing cars, I said, this car window's on Clark Street. I said, great, wow, right on. And then I remembered I'm parked on Clark Street.
Let's play something from another bit, if we can now. Tim Kazurinsky and Bruce Jarko, take the seemingly simple idea of school closings and build them into something else.
Now in the local scene, the worst April snowstorm in recent memory has caused a virtual flurry of school and other institutional closings in the area. Stay tuned now as Chip and I run down this most important list.
This list is all over the place. Why don't we start with our area small fries, Dale?
All right, Chip. Well, we have closings in the toddler department at the Ponce de Leon Perpetual Preschool. And also this just in, the Ushy Cushy Teddy Bear Nursery School will remain open. However, the Rugged Sons of the Pioneers will be closed. Chip, we also have reported closings now from the Zigzbubnum Grix Pickle School for the Dyslexic. And another one from the Ooh Ooh Mamaluka Boo Boo School for Onomatopoetic Children. Oh, dear, this is awful. This is awful. We have a report here that 147 students at the Claustrophobia Special Education School are trapped inside the gymnasium.
Harold,
yeah.
Could you explain to us how suggestions from the audience and the process of improvisation gradually build into a completely realized piece like that?
Well, lists are fun. For anyone who writes comedy, lists are great, especially group comedy writing. There's a lot of list-making that goes on. I've been in writing sessions where we've tried to determine what is the funniest candy bar. So we will sit, five well-paid people will sit around a table naming every candy bar they've ever heard of. Of course, Zagnut is the funniest candy bar. So list-making is great. And what you do in these, the whole process is to sit around and make other people laugh. We actually had a director at Second City, Michael Miller, who played a game called Make Me Laugh. And the idea was you could not leave the stage until you made Mike laugh.
Harold Ramis, as You've spoken as a director about the fact that Second City actors, when you work with them on different material, have a different language. Now, is that just a shared language with you, or is there are they put together differently because of that experience?
Stand-up comedians often do really badly at Second City because they work alone. They're competitive. They're only interested in the laugh, and they're not interested in anyone else. Mm-hmm. When I worked with Rodney Dangerfield, who worked 40 years as a stand-up, it was almost impossible to get him to play with the other people. And Second City is all about playing well with others. That's the thing. If you concentrate, stop worrying about how you look on stage, focus on making everyone else look good, mm-hmm. then you all look good together. And even if it cost you a personal score sometimes, that it sends a better subliminal message to an audience.
I want to ask a bit about the Toronto Company, because it does strike me, looking at it at something of a distance now, that opening an outpost in Toronto turned out to be just a wonderful idea when you think of all the talents that were congregated there. Even different kind of material. And maybe by way of that, let's introduce it a bit called, I guess it's 1812, Mark Wilson and a very well-known name now, Mike Myers.
Pull over, please. Hi. Roll down your window.
Cadillacs, huh? Look, Skip, I haven't got a lot of time, all right? One, I'm an American citizen. Two, I'm on business here in Canada for about 2 days. Three, I got zip to declare, so let's hustle the warrant, Pee-wee.
We're closed.
What?
We're closed.
Canada's closed?
We're redecorating. Yeah, come back in a few days, you won't recognize the place.
Oh, I see.
I've just decided to not let any more Americans in.
And why's that?
The War of 1812.
What?
Well, I'm sorry, you came up and you burnt York, you killed Sir Isaac General Brock at the Battle of Queenston Heights, I still hold a grudge.
I wasn't even born.
Well, it's more than that, it's the Super Bowl. You guys call yourselves the world champions, you never played the Argos.
What's an Argo?
Well, that's my point, exactly, that's it! You guys used to send us up atlases, right? Each state had its own color. Canada was just pink! We are closed!
Let me ask both of you, if you think there's something that Second City has derived from the character of Chicago and then Toronto that's made it different than a lot of groups that have tried to do something like this over the years in New York or Los Angeles or the Bay Area.
Oh, absolutely. I think it has to do with our name. We're called the Second City after a derogatory comment by A.J. Liebling. And I think Canada itself as a country is a second city. There's this sort of defeatist character that they've got in relation to America. So both cities are very similar that way. They're blue-collar. They're honest. They sort of celebrate the individual. Also, I think the fact is that not being on the coasts in huge entertainment towns, New York or L.A., make our actors have to focus in and just worry about the art and not worry about their next gig, their next commercial or an agent stopping by. There's a whole focus just on the work, and we're right in the middle of the country, so we're kind of exposed to everything.
Isn't part of the idea, though, behind Second City is that you don't always go for the laugh. You're going for another form of comedy that cuts a little deeper that isn't necessarily always promoted by the most obvious laugh?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's that somewhat tired phrase, comedy is serious business. You want to have something behind every laugh and meaning in it. And that there's an edge there. You know, we're daring to offend, and sometimes we do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the smartest thing you can do is the cheapest joke. So we're not above going for the,
oh, no,
for
yeah,
the really
yeah.
stupid.
Disappoint a family member and upset a child. Get your beer. Hey, beer. Who wants to get behind the wheel of a 4,000-pound automobile jeopardizing their life and the lives of hundreds of innocent bystanders? Get your beer. Hey, beer. Hey, who wants to forget that the Cubs are 37 games out?
Beer!
Kelly, does the political content wax and wane according to contemporary events?
Absolutely. Obviously, Second City has always been a left-leaning theater. We need someone to respond to and rebel against. And Reagan was great for that. Nixon was great for that. Clinton wasn't. And of course, we didn't want to do the same old tired sex jokes that were being done on mainstream comedy shows. Mm-hmm. The Clinton years lent themselves to an apolitical stance with the cast. I think they felt they had no voice. It was all corrupt, so what's the point? That's the audience and the cast. The audience wasn't terribly interested in seeing political satire. I have a feeling that's changing right now. Some of the suggestions coming out are a little more pointed from the audience in the improv sets now towards this new administration. It wouldn't surprise me that the political fires get stoked. And, you know, often what's bad for the state of the country is very good for the state of comedy. So we'll see what happens in the next 4 years.
Gentlemen, thank you both very much for being with us.
Pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Filmmaker Harold Ramis and Second City's producer Kelly Leonard. What we're hearing is an assortment of stars singing as they did when they were young and unknown on the stage of Chicago's Second City. The Second City, backstage at the world's greatest comedy theater, comes with two CDs of Second City moments and routines. It's narrated by Robert Klein with contributions from Alan Arkin, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, and a whole lot of others.